Welcome to the Picture Book Look podcast. I'm Kim Chafee.
And I'm Kirstie Call. Together, we'll share some of our favorite picture books and chat with their creators to explore the journey from story idea to bookshelf.
We'd love you to join us as we take a picture book look. Feeling stuck in your creative journey? Needing to change your narrative? Everything you want is possible.
As a therapist trained life coach for creatives, I'm excited to help authors like you create clarity and build self-confidence so you can achieve your dreams.
Kirstie can help you get the drama out of your life and into your art. Visit kirstiecall.com. That's KirstieCall.com and register for a free consultation today.
Hooray! I can't wait for us to work together to get you where you want to be.
Hey, Kirstie.
Hey, Kim.
So what are you doing for your dad for Father's Day this year?
Well, I'm definitely going to call him and then go on an honorary birding trip since I spent many hours birding with him as a kid. What are you going to do?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Well,
my parents live close by, so we usually get together and have a cookout, some steak tips and rice. And if the weather cooperates, we'll definitely get a little swimming in too.
Oh my goodness, that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I love that we have a day to honor our fathers. As a kid, I totally idolized my dad and I did a lot of things that he did. Like I played the clarinet. We were both track captain. He has always been someone that I have admired. And so I'm really excited about this week's book.
Me too. It's Some Daddies, written by Carol Gordon Exter and illustrated by Javiera McLean Alvarez. And it's the perfect pick for anyone who's looking for a Father's Day gift.
We're excited to talk with Carol and her editor, Naomi Kruger. Let's get started.
All right, Carol, we are going to start with you. Where did you get the idea for this great story?
Well, on December 17th, 2017, I was FaceTiming with my then 3.5-year-old grandson. And I think he noticed a nick on my husband's face. And he said, you know, Gigi, my daddy shaves too, but he has a beard. But when I grow up, I'm going to be a daddy, so I'm going to have a beard. And I said, Isaiah, some daddies have beards. And I like froze. And I said, hold on, Isaiah, I got to write that down. That's a really good title. And he knew me by then.
Yeah.
Three and a half. Oh, Grandma, you're always with your books, you know. So I stopped. I wrote down the title. And for some reason, and I think this is what is amazing about being an author, I felt so strongly about this title that I went right, like, I don't know if it was right after that or the next day, I started working on this manuscript. And I have a lot of manuscripts. And
yes,
yet I
you
put
do.
Them aside. Yep. I put them all aside and started to work on this, working on it, revising, restructuring, and now reading it to people. And Naomi's acceptance letter, she got it. She was the right editor for me when I just actually took it out to read it. She really knew why I had written this, because I think from that I understood that I wanted to show the endless possibilities of masculine love and what that offers. I also wrote this in to heal my childhood self, because in one part of the book where it says about some daddies barely hug, others hug like bears, my daddy barely hugged. And as a kid, that was really hard for me.
But
as I got older, I became very close to my dad. We even started saying, I love you to each other, which we never did until I was much older. And I came to see his many gifts, that he was really an incredible man that I compare it to other daddies. He just didn't hug. He just wasn't affectionate.
That's really important, Carol. He was a good dad. He just didn't show the affection that way, but he still loved you, right?
I love that message. It's so important. And Kim and I have had the privilege of seeing this manuscript dozens of times because we are critique partners, and we saw it from the very beginning, little seeds, and then we've watched it grow into this beautiful book. So, Naomi, what was it about this book that made you want to acquire it?
Well, that's just it. I had already in my mind been thinking that I wanted to acquire a book celebrating dads that challenged stereotypes and gender norms and showed different ways of what it looked like to be a dad. And so when I saw her pitch on a Twitter pitch event on Twitter, I was like, oh, that sounds like what I was wishing for. So it was it's so awesome when that happens, when I have something in my head. I mean, I didn't have like some daddies or like the exact same, like the manuscript idea in my head, but I just had the topic in my head. And so I was really thrilled to see the idea and then get the manuscript and see how she had written that. And it really met my expectations and hopes. So that was pretty exciting.
Very.
And it had such fun, joyful explorations of the many different personalities and family structures, appearances, interests, etc. And it was a fun manuscript to read. I knew that it would be a good read aloud.
Yes,
definitely.
Well, and Carol, since you were a fourth grade teacher, you know all about read aloud ability of books and how important that is. So you nailed it.
And it's exciting to me. It has that repeated line. So the kids say every daddy is different, but it does make more than I even expected when I'm reading it aloud. The pauses, the page turns, it's just, I have to say, it's a really nice book. But I have to say that it was Naomi's vision too that helped me in the structuring of it, in the vision, in making it better, because that's when you know, as authors, as children's writers, that we have to wait for the right editor, because she made it a much better book with her vision and her art notes and picturing where how this should develop. So that's important, that you be patient and wait for the right yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
As hard as that is. Because it can be a long wait, but it's worth it. Definitely worth it. Naomi, what was the illustrator selection process like for the book?
Yeah, I knew that I wanted something really colorful and vibrant and fun, and maybe something even a little bit unique and unusual, because there are a lot of books out there about dads, and I just didn't want this to be too quiet. I didn't want it to be too expected. And so I was looking for something quirky. And so when I came across Javiera's portfolio and just the different ways she was designing characters and scenes and like using color really uniquely, like green hair or an orange house or like different things like that, I said, yes, that's it. And so she just really met what my dream had been for the kind of art. And I was so happy that she was available to illustrate this. So
yes, yeah, it's beautiful.
It really is. It does. It stands out. It's not going to be just another dad book.
The other thing that was so important to me was that the art could depict different kinds of ethnic backgrounds and body sizes and abilities and disabilities, but also that, like, because it was a little bit unrealistic in terms of its illustration style, that anyone could imagine their dad.
Right.
And it wouldn't be just like, oh, well, I don't see myself in this. If it's too realistic, sometimes it can become too literal and then you might not see yourself. But if it's just a little bit off of like realism, it has more possibilities to see yourself in the art. And that was really important to me too.
Yes, that's so important.
I love that. So Carol, can you talk to us about your writing process for this story?
My writing process is I right away got that first draft down and brought it. I'm in 6 critique groups and I only brought it to 3 because they were 3 brilliant critique groups, as you might know. they helped me in the restructuring because I started, the title originally was Some Daddies Have Beards, because that's what my grandson, that's how the idea started. And then when I brought it to critique groups, you know, there was no structure. How about starting in the morning, and how about, you know, ending, you know, making it like a day, which was an input that I got that affected me. And so I looked at that, and then, you know, I do not write alone. So that was amazing. And then, as I said, Naomi was, I think, a brilliant editor, because she helped me even further. And as I went along, the structure became tighter. I didn't even have, I think, some other every single time. I mean, we broke it once, which I think was great. Finding the structure, and that so the illustrations flowed and it wasn't just a lot of vignettes, which was what Naomi said to me. And I'm impressed that she bought it, because I saw a lot of flaws when I looked back at the first draft, because you see, it really is subjective. She saw the potential and she had the vision.
Carol, so, I remember you saying to me, I can't believe she bought it. And then you changed a whole bunch.
Yes, I did.
And you sent it to her.
Yes.
Kim and I watched you go through the process of making sure every word was perfect. You used assonance and alliteration and all those literary devices.
No, I know.
Yes, we did. We did.
I love the line even. I go back and I go, you know, daddies, keep you steady while you pedal, step, pet. And I say that to the kids that when I had a school visit. Yeah, I think that some people who think they can just write books don't realize the amount of effort and work when you want it to sound good. So,
You say that again a little louder for the people in the back who maybe didn't hear?
I think they
heard. Well, actually, I want you to add a little bit to what you just said and give us any tips or tricks for
tips and tricks
picture book authors.
Well, I have to say, join community. And you need to learn from them, and you need the support, because it's a tough business and there is a lot of rejection, and it's hard work. It's going out to kids who know the difference between sincere writing and not sincere writing. And we need the help, because sometimes we're too close to it. So I love all my writing groups. I feel grateful I had a good editor. You need that community support in some way.
Agreed.
And of course, persevere and believe in the process, because it's going to take the time it takes. And
yes.
And read.
Right. We can't control it as authors.
I read so many books. You have to read all the books, picture books, new picture books, old picture books about daddies, and make sure your book stands out.
Right.
Definitely. Definitely.
Agreed.
I know, Carol, talking about critique groups and how important they are. I remember when I first started writing and I would send a story to the critique group and I would be like, oh, please don't find anything wrong with it. Please think it's wonderful and amazing and glorious. And now I'm like, please tell me there's somewhere something's wrong. Like, how can I make this better? It's such a different, you know, way to approach it when you realize that it's not just you. It's really a group effort, and you need other fresh eyes to see the things that you can't see in your own story. So I think that's a really...
That's so true. Yeah, I just want to say, point. Like, the two of you are some of my best critique partners. It's so grateful for both of you.
Likewise. So Naomi, we got a little bit of it from Carol, but what was the editing process like on your end? What were some things that you worked on specifically?
Yeah, Carol described it pretty well. But one of the things that I do when I first get a manuscript is I paginate it. So I put it out into the spreads that I think it could be. And that can sometimes reveal something about the structure or what might need to change in the editing. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that inspired a lot of the changes. So it's kind of a list of different characteristics or different personalities, but I needed to make sure that each scene was cohesive and kind of fit together. And in some cases they didn't. And it felt like, oh, this is going to be really challenging to illustrate in a compelling way because the ideas in this scene don't all fit together. And so occasionally it was rearranging them and occasionally it was rewriting it. So we did some like changing some of the lines so that it could fit together in a similar category of ideas. We changed how frequently the refrain. Every daddy is different, like how often that was throughout. So it wasn't on every spread because it felt a little bit like too much. So we just kind of aired it out a little bit. And that, I think, gave it a little bit more.
I love that.
Like just room to breathe. We did go back and forth a lot, but Carol was awesome to work with because she was really receptive to changes. And
she's quick. She's quick to respond.
She also pushed back sometimes, which, I was sometimes like, oh, she doesn't like my change. But that's actually good. You know, it's okay when there's a little bit of push and pull because she knew what she wanted and it was important to her that certain lines stayed in there. And and sometimes my edits, like I maybe wanted to change it, but she didn't. And it was like, okay, that's fine. We'll keep it. And it was good to keep it, you know? And so it's always a collaboration and a conversation when the revision process is happening. So
I love that it's there's some give and take.
Yeah.
That's important.
But I appreciated that Naomi was sensitive to a child who maybe didn't have a father or had a father who was difficult, that we had to get it right. And I really do feel that we did. But I appreciated, all her input. It just made for a better story.
Yes.
That's really
agreed.
That's really great. And I love that you said that, Naomi, because I think that's super important, especially for authors who are publishing their first book and might not realize that they can push back a little. I mean, you don't want to be, we don't want to go over the edge with
it. If they aren't receptive to any changes.
Right,
exactly. But when you already have a good, rapport and you are taking the feedback and making the revisions, but if occasionally there's something you feel really strong about, you should feel comfortable expressing it. Like an editor might not always agree with you and you might have to give on it, but it's not a silent partnership. Like, you can say what you think.
It's important to say what you think. I agree. I love that.
Open to conversation.
Yes. Naomi, do you have any tips or tricks for people as they're submitting manuscripts?
Yeah, it really depends on how you're going about it, whether or not you're trying to find an agent or if you're trying to submit directly without an agent. I think Carol's is a success story related to Twitter and how Twitter can really connect you with people. And I, as an editor, I've met so many of my authors on Twitter, either like informally through like discovering them that way or through Twitter pitch events. As a publishing house, we've changed and grown over the years, and we used to accept unsolicited submissions. We don't now. We mostly receive them through agents. But occasionally I do get to connect with authors, through pitch events or other ways who don't have agents. And so Twitter has just been like amazing for me as an editor. And I know that it's like fostered some really good relationships with authors. So, people say, oh, it's just a social media, it's a waste of time, or it's not. Like if you cultivate your community the right way, it can be a really, helpful and meaningful professional tool.
Yes,
definitely.
Well, yep. I made the sale on that pitch book.
There you go, Carol.
To me, everything is a miracle in this business because just that you happen to be looking and you happen to want a daddy story, and we made that connection and a beautiful product. So, I love Twitter.
I love Twitter. Carol's a good example of an author who's doing the work. She mentioned being in critique groups and reading and doing all that. That's so important. I've met with a lot of aspiring authors who are more in a vacuum by themselves and writing. And you need, and I always have to encourage them to find your community, find other people who are writing so they can give you critiques. The first person reading your draft shouldn't be an editor.
And so
I think Carol has a lot of wisdom and experience there. She
does.
She's doing it.
I think we need to put that on a shirt. The first person reading your draft should not be an editor.
Or an agent.
Right.
Or an agent.
Yeah. Right. That's a great quote.
I love it.
Absolutely.
So we have one last question for each of you, and we're going to start with you, Naomi. When someone reads Some Daddies, what do you hope they feel or learn?
I really hope that they feel freedom for dads who are reading it, to feel freedom to express themselves however is the most natural, and for them to feel affirmed and celebrated in their own uniqueness. And also for kids to see their dads and celebrate them for who they are. Kids compare themselves a lot, especially as they get a little older and start to interact with other families and learn about like how how other families might be different from theirs. And so I hope that they learn to feel comfortable and confident with the way that their family looks, but also to feel happy to celebrate how other families look too.
Love that. I love that.
I'm
stealing that. That's
amazing.
Your answer
is better than mine.
No.
We haven't heard yours yet.
I know, Carol. How about you, Carol?
I won't repeat. Well, I hope that they learn that all daddies show their love in their own unique way and that no two daddies are alike. I think they'll get that with the repeated refrain, every dad is different. And that everyone's experience of a dad might be different, even in your own family. Like siblings, I notice, I've heard that siblings feel differently about the way their dad loved them. I hope that they feel an acceptance and understanding of their own dad and learn to love him for who he is.
Oh, that's
for his
beautiful.
Good, for his bad, for just who he is and how he shows his love.
A big thank you to Carol and Naomi for joining us today and giving us a look into the creative process for some daddies. Check out the show notes to learn more about Carol and her other fabulous work. Don't forget to follow the podcast so you won't miss an episode, and we would love it if you would leave a review. Thanks for listening, and
happy looking! Picture Book Look is produced by Kirsty Call and Kim Chafee. Music by James Call.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.